Excellent. Well, welcome to Hoboken Grace. I just want to repeat what was said earlier. If this is your first time with us, we're super excited to have you. Hopefully you've made yourself right at home. For those of you who don't know me, or for those of you who are listening or watching online, my name is Chris High. I'm the teaching pastor, the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And right now we're in the middle of a two-week conversation called Painkiller. And we're dealing with this idea of pain. How does God expect us to move through pain? You begin to experience God, you begin to pursue God, and there are all sorts of questions that begin to bubble to the surface. And I think one of the main ones is this idea of pain. How do I deal with, how do I cope with God? What's going on with pain? And last week we talked about some really powerful truths as it relates to how we move through it. And so we talked about how God, as he comes to you, he doesn't expect you to be able to handle pain. He doesn't think you were created for it. He didn't create you for that. So he doesn't expect you to be able to handle it. And he doesn't expect you to move through it without questions. He invites you to come into this with him with questions, to bring your questions to him. And in that, he wants to fight for you, and he wants to comfort you, and he wants to teach you how to be able to move through pain. But yet, at the same time, while that helps us deal with the question a little bit, it doesn't necessarily entirely answer the question. And you look at things like, and I don't know if you guys have heard this story or not, but last night before I was going to bed, I was just flipping through the headlines online. And I don't know if you guys have heard the story of the little boy who lost his life in Wisconsin, but apparently it looks like he got a hold of his dad's keys and opened the trunk to their car and climbed inside, and somehow it closed. They searched and searched and searched for him. They couldn't find him. They finally opened the trunk, and he'd passed away, overheated. You look at situations like that, you're like, God, okay, I understand how you want me to move through it, but why is it even still there? I mean, why doesn't it just stop? I think understanding how he comforts us and understanding how he wants to fight for us and understanding how he wants to teach us in it is good, but there's still this lingering question. For those of you who are seeking God, for many people, one of the most difficult questions as they're seeking God is this question of pain. I mean, if God is so good and God is so loving, then why is this continuing to happen? God, what is this all about? And today, I want us to walk into that question, but I want us to walk into it from a little bit of a different perspective. And maybe as you bring God this question, which I think he invites us, again, to bring to him, I've experienced in my own life something that I want to kind of walk you through. Because as I've come to him with this question, God, what's happening? He's begun to open my eyes to something that I didn't see before. A part of this situation that I didn't necessarily understand before. And I think there are some mistakes that we make in the question or in how we see the situation that drastically impact how the question is answered and how we begin to experience that answer as he begins to walk us through it. And there are two in particular that I want to point out to us today. I think the first of the mistakes that we make in the midst of this conversation, the question is that we have this idea, and at least I do, I think most of us do, but I know for sure that I do, we have this idea that God doesn't feel. And so oftentimes when we picture God or we imagine God or we're in our minds as we're portraying God, there's this God, and for a lot of us, the only emotion that God ever feels is anger. At least for me, as I grew up, I pictured God, I pictured this individual, this being that was very much unfeeling except for anger. And then I kind of was like, well, yeah, but he's love too, so he feels that sometimes. But for a lot of us, for many of us, there's just this overwhelming sense that the feeling that God experiences more than anything else is anger. And maybe the only feeling that we ever really ascribe to him is this idea of anger. But then you come to the scriptures and you begin to see a very different picture of God. You begin to see a God who maybe is a lot more like us than we think as it pertains to this idea of feeling. I just want to take you to a couple passages to explain what I'm talking about. Genesis chapter 6, verse 7. God has put this plan into motion and he's created us, but all of a sudden we're beginning to not only step out of relationship with him, but step out of relationship with one another, and people are destroying each other's lives. And in the midst of that, you read this passage, Genesis chapter 6, 7. It says, "The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain." See that he's experiencing this tremendous amount of pain. But not only pain, Deuteronomy 32:16 says, "They made him jealous, him being God, with their foreign gods, and angered him with their detestable idols." He wanted so much for them to love him and for him to be able to love them, for them to have this relationship where he's taking care of them and guiding them. But instead, they go another direction, and he has this jealousy. You see anger in the passage, but alongside of it, you see this feeling of jealousy. Luke 19:41, as Jesus is approaching the city of Jerusalem, it says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it, this grief. Luke 22:44, this passage that we talked about last week, as Jesus is in the garden and he knows what he's about to walk into, that he's about to go through the crucifixion, that he's going to die for you and for me, as he's preparing for this, it says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." It's just this unbelievable experience of fear. He's just terrified of what's ahead of him and what he's about to walk through and what he's about to encounter. Zephaniah 3:17, it's not all negative. You see, "The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing." This idea that he feels celebration, that he's joy and just unbelievable delight. All these different feelings. John 3:16, this passage that's quoted so often, that God loves, this feeling of love. You see, when you come to the scriptures, a very different picture of God. Not a God who is divorced from feeling, but a God who is constantly feeling. And as I've been on this journey with God, and as I've come to him with this question of God, what, you know, why and what's happening here? One of the mistakes that I've realized that I've made is that for most of my life, as I've come to him, I've thought that he's disengaged. And it's a lie that we're constantly fighting against. We talk about it a lot here at Hoboken Grace, this lie that God is distant, that he doesn't have anything to do with what's happening here and now. And an understanding that that couldn't be any further from the truth, but that God is intimately involved in what's happening in your life. And so at first I began to realize that as I was experiencing pain, that he was experiencing that pain as well. And that was unbelievably comforting to me, to know that I was in it with someone and he wasn't just guiding me through it, but that he was experiencing my pain because he's my father. And so therefore he's experiencing that with me. But then as I began to realize the full scope of what it means that he experiences this pain, it began to overwhelm me. Because we experience pain in a local way. And so I experience the pain that comes into my life directly, or I experience the pain that comes in the lives of the people that I love. And the media has kind of expanded that now. So now I have the ability to be able to experience pain as I read through that headline and that story of this little boy and his family and thinking through what they must be going through right now. But I want, for just a moment, if you would, just put yourself in God's shoes. You see, he doesn't just experience the pain that I feel. He doesn't just experience the pain that you feel. He lives in a constant state of experiencing the pain of the entire world. So much so that in that passage that we talked about just a little bit earlier in Genesis chapter 6, it says he's literally just filled with pain. As he's watching people destroy people. I mean, just for a moment, try to comprehend it. It's beyond our comprehension, but just try to comprehend it for just a moment. How many individuals today, just today, not counting what's happened over the past week or what will happen in the upcoming week, just today are going to experience the pain that comes from rape? Not locally, not in our city, not nationally, globally. He's experiencing all of it. All of it. How many people will have a loved one taken from them? And let's not even talk about disease or natural disaster, but specifically because someone decided to kill them. Specifically murder. How many people will lose someone in that way? This unbelievably heart-wrenching tragedy. How many? You look around the world. I'm not just talking about locally. You think about the countries that are involved in just constant war and all of the pain. I think we've made a huge mistake. Because we've developed this image of God that he's not feeling, but when you read through the scriptures, I think you see that it's very, very different. And that the truth is, he's feeling this unbelievable amount of pain. I think this is what Paul is trying to help us to be able to understand in this passage that we find in Colossians chapter 1. And it's a passage that at first is a little bit confusing. I want to read to you. It says, I'm glad when I suffer for you in my body. And Paul is talking about the pain that he's going through. And if you read through the story of Paul in the scriptures, you find that he lives this really phenomenally painful life. I mean, the guy's stoned, beaten, put in prison. He's experiencing all sorts of pain. And so he's talking about his pain as he begins the book of Colossians, and he gets to this verse. He says, I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. Now let me ask you a question. How does Christ's sufferings continue? You look at that verse as you're reading through this in Colossians. How does that happen? It's not that the suffering of the cross is being experienced over and over and over and over again. So how is it that Christ's sufferings for the church, his enduring of this pain, continues? You see, in my mind, for most of my life, I thought that God suffered for me once. That when he went to that cross, that he suffered for me so that I could be brought back into this family, so that I could be a part of this with him, so that he could love me and that I could love him. But when you begin to look at what the scriptures actually say, you begin to realize that Christ's suffering for me did not begin at the cross. Christ's suffering for you did not begin at the cross. Began a long, long time before that. And from the moment that we stepped out of relationship to him, from the moment that we began to literally destroy one another, God has been living in this unbelievable pain. And it comes to the cross, and at the cross, it reaches its climax. And in this moment, he suffers unspeakable pain in order to be able to bring us back to him. But it's not something that started there or ends there. It started a long time before that. And from the beginning of the story, God decided, I'm not going to end it because I want to know you and you. And it's unbelievably difficult. And there's a tremendous amount of pain that he has to go through every single day, every single moment. And it comes to the cross, and he's willing to suffer even more. But even beyond that, it just continues. And every day, he makes a decision to continue to endure the pain for his church. Because there are more stories to be told. Because there are more people to be found. He continues to suffer for his church. I think we've made a huge mistake in understanding the one that we're coming to and understanding what He's done for us. And make no mistake about it, there were times in the story, as you read through the Scriptures, you're gonna read times in the story where God actually comes to the point where He's close to ending it. In different conversations that He has with people, it sounds like, okay, I'm done. I'm done with the pain. I'm done with all of this ugliness. I'm done with all of this brokenness. It's over. You hear it even there in Genesis chapter 6. It seems like He's like, I don't know. But Paul says, no. He chose not just to endure the suffering of the cross for you. He's chosen to endure years, 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 years of pain for us. And He continues to. I think we've misunderstood what He's experiencing. But just to build on that a little bit, I think the second part too is that we've misunderstood the relationship, or once again, we've questioned the relationship that we have with Him. Because for those of you who are seeking, I want for you to understand this, and this is why we talk about it quite frequently here at Hoboken Grace. The relationship that God is inviting you into is not the relationship of God and you just serve Him. We come to Him as servants because we realize that we do not in any way, shape, or form deserve the relationship that He's inviting us into. We do not deserve the opportunity that He's given us, but He doesn't invite us into it where He is our God and we are just His servant. He invites us into a relationship where we are adopted as His son, as His daughter. And when you begin to bring that into this conversation, for me as a parent, it changes everything. It continues to explode this idea of what God is going through and what He is enduring for me and for you. Because for those of you who are parents, and I know this isn't usually like our highest parent-attended service, but for those of you who are parents, or even for those of you who are connected to someone in that way, in any way, shape, or form, I want to ask you something. What's greater? Walking through pain yourself or watching your kids walk through the same thing? It's not even close. I've experienced the pain of rejection. I understand that. I understand the pain that comes along with that. But I remember very clearly the first time that Caden, which is my 4-year-old son, that he went to the playground and he saw these kids playing and he walked in and he's so excited and Caden thinks everyone loves him. And so he just runs up to these kids to be able to play and he's so excited that other kids are there that he gets to play with. So he just runs up to them so that he can play along with them, and they just kind of pushed him aside. I have never wanted to beat up little kids. The way that I did in that moment. And he had this look on his face like, "Dad, what? What just happened?" And my heart broke. I don't think we can even begin to comprehend the amount of pain that God endures on a daily basis and has endured on a daily basis so that He could know you. And so that He could know me. I don't think we could even come close. But yet, he decided that you were worth the pain. Not just the pain of the cross. The pain. All of it. That he would allow the story to continue. So that your story could be told. So that he could pursue you, even those of you who are here who have not yet accepted him, who continue to doubt whether or not he loves you. You see, he believes that people are worth the pain. I think this is what Peter is trying to help us to be able to understand in 2 Peter chapter 3, 9, where it says, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise. What is his promise? His promise is that it's going to end, and it will end. There will come a day when it will end, and it will finally be over, and there will be no more pain. Peter is writing to a group of people who are encountering large amounts of pain, increasing amounts of pain. And in that situation, he's saying to them, listen, don't be misled. God is not being slow about his promise. The promise is going to be fulfilled. He says, no, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. Just a couple verses later, in verse 15, and remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. This is what our beloved Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him. What is he talking about? Where did Paul talk about this? He's actually talking specifically about the passage that we talked about earlier in Colossians chapter 1, where Paul is trying to help them understand this, right? That I'm glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I'm participating in the sufferings of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. Jump down a couple verses later. It says, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. You see, Paul understood that in this relationship with God, not only did he have the opportunity to be able to come to God with his pain and experience God fighting for him and comforting him and teaching him, but that there was a greater purpose and a greater plan, and that pain does not have to be meaningless. But that in your life and my life, God is inviting you into a journey where it becomes meaningful. But here's the thing, and here's where we can begin to buy into a little bit of a lie in this. And for some of you, this is going to be really, really difficult to hear, but sometimes we come to this and we think that God's purpose and plan has to do with us individually. And so we'll have conversations with one another about the pain that we're experiencing, and we'll say, you know, well, listen, God brought this pain in for a purpose. The idea being that somehow this is about you, and that somehow your purpose and plan is going to be lived out better because of this pain. And Paul is very clear in Romans chapter 8 that, listen, God can use anything in your life for good, and he's going to use it in your life for good. But I want you to understand something. I think something that both Peter and Paul are trying to help us understand in these passages, and that is this. What God's purpose is in this life is so much greater than just you. It's so much bigger than just me. And these passages, I believe both of them are calling us out of that idea that it's just about how it's going to benefit my purpose and my plan. No, God has given you an unbelievable opportunity to be able to live a life that's beautifully significant, but it's not going to be because your story is significant. It's going to be because your story fits into his plan, which is unbelievably significant. And in this moment, Paul is talking about how his story fits into that greater plan and that greater purpose. And he says, you know what? I take joy as I walk through these pains because I understand that Christ is suffering for his church, not just in a moment, but constantly suffering for his church. And I get to be part of that with him. And I think for a lot of us, as we walk this journey, and we talk every week about how we're here to help people find their way back to God, that this is our mission. I think for a lot of us, we think that it's a good thing or a nice thing, or we may even think that it's a really, really important thing. But when you come to the scriptures and you come to these passages, I believe God is calling out to us and saying, listen, it's not just a good thing. It's not just a nice thing. It is the only thing. And if you're ever going to come to the point where you're going to be able to understand what God's doing as it comes to pain and what's happening in this larger purpose, then you've got to move from just a nice thing or a good thing that you add to the other things in your life, where you come to the point where you say, I live, I exist to help people find their way back to God. And so I walk into work Monday morning with this mission of helping people find their way back to God, and I'm going to use my position, and I'm going to use my resources, and I'm going to use my time and my talents in whatever way that I can to be able to accomplish this mission that we're on together. And in this, I know that He is suffering for His church, and there are going to be times that this world is going to continue to spin, and the brokenness and the sin of the world around me is going to cause unbelievable pain. But I know that the one who started this mission is going to continue this mission, and because of the pain, not only that He is enduring, but that I'm enduring in this moment, there are going to be stories of lives that are changed. See, God's purpose is not just this distant thing. His purpose has names and hearts and souls. And Paul says, you know what? I understand. I understand that He's going to allow this thing to continue because He does not want for anyone to be destroyed, as Peter says. And so I'm going to work with all that I have to see more come to know Him. The pain in the world will not make sense outside of the mission of God. And your conversation with Him will not be what it could be until you understand that He has not just suffered for you once, but that He has been continually suffering for you. And that He invites you to be part of doing that with Him. To move through all the sin and the brokenness. To decide for yourself that you're not going to disengage from the story, but that you are going to engage it with all that you have. Including the pain that comes with it. Because people are worth the pain. People are worth the pain. Will you pray with me? Father, it's unfathomable to begin to think about what You have endured for our stories to be told. For us to be here. For us to exist. And then above and beyond that, the pain that You've endured for us to be brought back into this relationship with You, to pursue us in the way that You've pursued us. Father, I pray for those who are here who are still struggling with whether or not they can trust You. I pray that this truth of how You've suffered for them would just overwhelm them with Your love. And that today that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they can trust You. and that you love them. And then, Father, for those who are here who have stepped into that relationship, Father, I pray that we would move beyond this idea that there are other things, that there is in some way, shape, or form something else worth living for. Father, pain becomes so meaningless when we live for those other things. But that we would join you in this mission. That it would become our mission. And that as you have so clearly demonstrated, so clearly lived out for us, we would begin to believe that people are worth the pain. Thank you that you thought that these people were worth the pain. That this person was worth the pain. In Jesus' name, amen.